Hey, take your Bibles this morning and in a bulletin it shows Luke chapter 19 and also 1 Samuel 16, 7. But to begin this, I want to read three brief passages of Scripture. And as I do, I want you to see how quickly you can discover the connection between the three, okay? The first one is going to be 1 Samuel chapter 9, verse 2. You've already been challenged to memorize just one verse a week. And in this message today, I want to challenge you to make a connection with Scripture. See, God gives us His Word so that we do make a connection. First of all, with salvation, you know, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. And then once we accept Jesus Christ, then He gives us Scriptures to start growing as Christians. But in the Bible, we have so many different descriptions and stories about how God used different men for His honor and glory. And He didn't take perfect people, did He? He didn't look for perfect people. He looked for people just like you and I. Simple, ordinary people to do extraordinary things. To teach us a lesson. To help us to grow and realize that it doesn't matter who we are, how big, how small, that He has a purpose for our lives. And He's not looking on our outward appearance, but He's looking inwardly at our heart. Where is our heart? Where is it really rooted? What is our heart's desire in this life? So, as I read these three passages of Scripture, I want you to start looking for a connection between these three, okay? Here we go. First of all, 1 Samuel 9, 2, Luke 19, I'll be reading verses 1 through 4, and then 1 Samuel 16, 7, which is listed there in the bulletin. All right, 1 Samuel 9, 2. Now, the first verse, I'm reading the second verse, the first verse says, "Now there was a man of Benjamin whose name was Kish." All right? This would be the father of Saul, okay? All right, here we go. "He had a son named Saul, an impressive young man without equal among the Israelites, a head taller than any of the others." Okay? There's one. Now let's look at the second scripture. Now we're in Luke chapter 19, 1 through 4. "Jesus entered Jericho and was passing through. And a man was there by the name of Zacchaeus. He was a chief tax collector and was wealthy." Verse 3. "He wanted to see who Jesus was, but being short, he could not, because of the crowd. So he ran ahead and he climbed a sycamore tree to see him," see Jesus, "since Jesus was coming that way." Okay? Do you see the connection yet? Are you beginning to see that? Okay, some of you are nodding your head. You see a connection there. Okay? Now, third scripture. 1 Samuel chapter 16, verse 7, which says, "But the Lord said to Samuel," the same prophet as he was speaking about or to in 1 Samuel 9, 2. "But the Lord said to Samuel, do not consider his appearance or his height, for I have rejected him. The Lord does not look at the things man looks at. Man looks at the outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart. Amen. So do you see the connection between these verses? All three passages here makes mention to what? Physical appearances. Physical appearances. Now, what I want to do here, I wonder how many of us have ever stood before a mirror and wished that we had a different face or a different body. I see a hand back there. I see two hands. Three, four, five. Oh, my goodness, that's enough. Now, I should have said you didn't need to raise your hand, but you were being honest, right? You were being honest. But if you can be honest to say that you have never, you know, wished a different face or body, then you're among the minority, right? And there are minorities out there, because most people at one time or another have wished they could look differently than what they do now. Many of you know the comedian and actor Don Knotts. You remember in a movie one time, one of his statements? He said, I used to watch Don Knotts and Andy Griffin, all those, still do occasionally when I have time. But in one of the movies, I don't recall the name of the movie, but he did say this. He said that, "I need a body transplant." You remember that movie? Any of you? Man, I'm not the only one. Am I the only one showing my age? Huh? Yeah, that was probably it. That was probably it. I remember him saying that, "I need a body transplant." Of course, there have been a lot of transplants in our day and age today. And a lot of it is organs because there's a need to. But sometimes, you know, when we say a body transplant, we say we want a new appearance. We want to look different. We want to feel important. We want to be taller. Well, nobody said I want to be shorter, do they? But you see the comparison here in our scripture. Saul stood a head taller than anyone else. And poor Zacchaeus, he was probably 2 foot lower than anybody else in our scripture. And then the other scripture pertained to who? It pertained to David. Because of Saul's disobedience to God's commandments, he sent Samuel back and said, "You know, sorry about this, Saul, but you know, because God loves obedience better than sacrifice, you're no longer going to be king." So he's finding you a replacement. And that's when he went to Jesse's house. And Jesse had 8 sons, right? And of course, Samuel started looking at all the other examples of men. And here, poor David was short, small, young. And the Lord said, "You know, it's none of those right there. Where's your other son?" And then Samuel said, "Where's your other sons?" And one out in the keeping the sheep. He was shepherding. So, but there's a tremendous emphasis in our country on appearance that affects almost everybody. And, you know, you can turn on the TV. Just this past week, it's talking about all these exercise machines and Bowflex and all these diets and so forth you can take. And then Sidney Crawford has this miraculous kind of makeup or some kind of ointment you put on. It will take off 20 years of your looks. It showed her at 28. And then it showed her at 48, and she didn't look any difference. Did you see that this week? Yeah. I just keep what I've got, okay? And be happy with it. That's how God blessed us, you know? So many people, they do strive to improve their physical appearance. But really, as the old saying is, beauty is only what? Skin deep. And beauty is also in the eyes of the beholder. That's who you got, and that's who you wanted, and that's who you're going to be with, right? And be glad of it. But, you know, if beauty is in the eyes of the beholder, it's not always clear what beauty or what is not, right? For example, in parts of Africa, beauty of a lady is known by stretching out their lower lip and putting a 12-inch disc in the lip. Now, if that is beauty there, in the Western culture which we live, we don't look at that as beauty, do we? But everybody looks at beauty in a different way. And is in the eyes of a beholder, or, you know, however they see it, that's fine. But think about it. Maybe the key to solving all of our concerns about our appearance is looking at what Jesus looks at. Because in our scriptures, you know, well, then most of us could go on way feeling just satisfied about who we are, what we are. But when we look at how Jesus looks at us, not on outward appearance, but what our heart desires, maybe we need to go back to look at it Jesus' way, is what I'm saying this morning. But the setting all that aside, I thought that the contrast between King Saul in the Old Testament and Zacchaeus in the New Testament is interesting. Did you see it interesting? I do. Here is Saul. 1 Samuel 9:2 tells us that he was an impressive young man without equal among the Israelites, a head taller than any other. So, if we could describe Saul in modern terms, in our modern day, what kind of guy would he be? What kind of guy would he be? Captain of the football team, wouldn't he? Or captain of the basketball team, or our soccer team? You know, he would be the kind of king of the prom. Heartthrob every girl in the school, wouldn't he? So, he is successful in every way that he tries to do. Saul is. Then he is chosen to become king of Israel, ruler over all the nation. And what does everybody do to him or for him? They praise him. Yes, this is what we've been looking for. Was that God's choice from the very beginning? If you go back and read the scriptures, the Bible says that God gave him Saul as their king because that's what they wanted. And sometimes we think, well, God doesn't always give us what we want. Well, sometimes he does. To let you know that's not what you needed, or that was not his desire. But then sometimes he lets us figure it out. And when we figure it out, then we say, I should have listened to God from the very beginning. He let me have what I wanted. You see, it's best that we be in God's perfect will than in his submissive will. If we operate on his submissive will, then we're not always going to know God's perfect will until we come to the conclusion or reason with ourselves, well, I've been on my own too long. God, I want you in charge. I want you to make the decisions for me. So, but in a few years goes by with Saul, we come to 1 Samuel 15, verses 22 through 23, where because of Saul's arrogance and as I mentioned a while ago, because of his disobedience of God's commands, God tells Samuel, the judge, who had originally anointed Saul king, to say to him, and this is what he said in 1 Samuel 15, "Does the Lord delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as much as in obeying the voice of the Lord? To obey is better than sacrifice, and to heed is better than the fats of rams. For rebellion is like the sin of divination, and arrogance like evil idolatry. Because you have rejected the word of the Lord, he has rejected you as king." And that's what it said right here in 1 Samuel 15, 22 and 23. Now, take all of this to the side and think about Saul and his appearance and how people saw him, but what was really going on inside Saul. I already switched his name. Saul, what was going on with him? Well, all of this had an effect on Saul. Later, Saul feels further rejected than the people seeing. Saul has killed 10,000 or his 1,000, but David has killed his 10,000. 1 Samuel 18, verse 7. You see what's going on now? And finally, overwhelmed by his feelings in the midst of the fierce battle that Saul was in, what did Saul do? He took his own life because he couldn't face the prospect of being captured by his enemy. You see what happened to a man that could have been all that God wanted him to be, or could have been, if we would only had changed his heart. His appearance, he had all of that. Had all that going for him. But as the scripture says, God doesn't look on the outside of a person, you and I, but he looks at our heart. And see, God desires a humble heart, a contrite heart, one that he can mold and make into something that is good, something that will benefit the person in God's kingdom. Now, in contrast to Saul, let's look at Zacchaeus now. We are told that he is a short man. That's interesting. I find that interesting as I was reading and studying between Saul and Zacchaeus. Because anthropologists tell us that the average man's height in the New Testament in those days was like 5'3". 5'3". Which is shorter than the average today, isn't it? Now, we have a lot of people that maybe be 5'3" or shorter, but that's not the average here in our culture today. So when the Bible points out that Zacchaeus was short, it means that Zacchaeus must have been really short. Some scholars suggest that he might have been even a dwarf. We don't know, but according to the scripture, he was very short. So can you imagine what his life must have been like when he went to school in modern day terms? And let's put it in modern day context. Everybody made fun of him, right? We have trouble with that today in our schools, don't we? You don't have to be short to be made fun of. It can just be the way you wear your hair, or the clothes you wear, or just because somebody looks at you and they don't like the way you look. So I can imagine that Zacchaeus, you know, went to school and everybody made fun of him. He was always last when they chose teams to play at recess. Or none of the girls wanted to go out with him or date Zacchaeus because they would be looking down at him. Or everybody laughed at him. So Zacchaeus grew up with a what on his shoulder? A chip. Makes me believe that when you read and study the scripture, because when he became an adult, the Roman Empire was looking for chief tax collector. And Zacchaeus, you know what he did? He jumped at the chance. Here's my opportunity to be somebody, to do something, to make something of myself. Because you see, tax collector meant that you could get even, or you could take advantage of your people or the people that, you know, you serve. And that's probably what he's thinking. Zacchaeus, he didn't care because nobody liked him anyway. They had always rejected him, so he took the job and he succeeded at it. He found himself, you know, making a lot of money at the expense of his own countrymen. He built himself a big house and he became very wealthy. The Bible said he was wealthy, right? So Zacchaeus became a big little man in Jericho. He was important because he had made himself important. Now I want to remind you about 1 Samuel 16, 7 a while ago, where God told Samuel, the Lord does not look at the things man looks at. Man looks at the outward appearance, but God looks at the what? God looks at the heart. So he looks beyond whether you are tall, short, too heavy, or too thin. See, he looks on the inside of the heart, and he sees what is there. God sees exactly what's in our heart. So, a good question for us this morning is, what is God looking for when he looks into your heart or my heart? What does he see? And I want to suggest three things here to you this morning. First of all, God, I think he is looking for a heart that will reflect his love. Okay? Listen to Luke 19, verse 5. I didn't read there a while ago, but look at it now. Look at Luke 19, 5. It says, when Jesus reached the spot, he looked up and he said to Zacchaeus, come down immediately. I must stay at your house. So he came down at once and welcomed him gladly. Can you read between the lines right there? Do you see what's going on here? I wonder if maybe Jesus is the very first person that ever said, Zacchaeus, I want to spend the day with you. Do you imagine that Jesus is the only one that even showed Zacchaeus any attention or even recognized who he was other than a tax collector? People didn't like that. Most people today don't like a lot of tax collectors or being taxed, do they? But it's a much needed thing. You know, if it's fairly right, but Zacchaeus was taking advantage of the people. So I wonder if maybe Jesus is the very first person who said, Zacchaeus, I want to spend the day with you. I want to spend some time with you. I want to get to know you. I see who you are outwardly, but I want to really get to know your heart. Where is your heart? Did you know that Zacchaeus, how he responded? Did you see what the scripture said? He came down, shimmying down that tree as fast as he could, and he said, and it says that Zacchaeus welcomed him gladly. Yes, this has been my opportunity. Why did he run ahead of the crowd and climb up in the tree? Because he wanted to see this Jesus. Not only did he want to see him, but he had heard so much about Jesus, his compassion about people. So is Jesus genuine? Is he really who he says he is? Is he really who what everybody else is saying about him? That's what Zacchaeus is thinking. And maybe for the first time in his life, somebody showed him love, attention, and just didn't reject him. Somebody reached out and said, "You count. You amount to something." So Zacchaeus welcomed him. He was a sponge just soaking it up in love, right? You know what a sponge does? You set a sponge down in water, and what happens? It soaks up the water. It saturates that sponge. And he was soaking it in. And when Jesus reached out to him in love, his heart was ready to receive, and guess what took place? A change that never had happened, or a change that Zacchaeus had not experienced before in his life. The same with the Apostle Paul. When Jesus spoke to him on the road to Damascus, a change immediately took place in his life, didn't it? And a change took place immediately in Zacchaeus' life. When Jesus reached out to him in love, it changed him. So I believe that when God looks into our heart, he is looking for a heart that will accept his love. And that's exactly what took place with Zacchaeus. Of course, the Bible also says that God is no respecter of person, doesn't he? He's not a respecter of person. It doesn't make any difference if you are tall, short, big, or thin. He just wants a heart that is ready to receive love, reflect his love to others. There was a preacher that was visiting in this facility. And as he was going down a corridor, he noticed a young person sitting in a wheelchair. And at the moment, he couldn't tell if it's a girl or a boy. But as he looked, he saw finally that it was a young boy. And his body was all twisted and guard. But he was sitting in this new motorized wheelchair, or they call them scooters. And it's one that's just a flick of the finger. You can go sideways, right, left, back, or forth, just by the touch of the finger. And this little boy, he would whiz up and down the aisles. He was passing everybody that was walking. And he went all the way down through the corridor at the end of the hall, and he spun and whizzed right back real fast. And as he come by that preacher, the preacher saw on his face the biggest old smile, an exciting face. And then he stopped. And he whizzed, and he took off again. But you see, this young boy was excited because he had a motorized vehicle where his body wasn't able to motivate or do anything. He had the capabilities of doing that in other ways. So he was excited about that. So you see, he was changed because he knew that he had the ability to do things that he hadn't done before. And this preacher recognized that, you know, he might be handicapped in some ways, but not inwardly. You see, physically, we can be handicapped, but inwardly, we can have it all. It's a condition of the heart. Now, I think that God is like that. He doesn't see the imperfections or the scars or the stripes. He looks right into our heart. Is there love there that reflects the love of God so that the rest of the world can see it too? Secondly, I think that God is always looking for repentance and a commitment. And you see here in the scripture, look in verse 8. Luke 19, verse 8, it says, "But Zacchaeus stood up and said to the Lord, 'Look, Lord, here and now I give half of my possessions to the poor, and if I have cheated anybody out of anything, I will pay them back four times amount.'" Now, you think that had happened? Certainly it happened, or he wouldn't have said it. But he was willing. You see the change that came over him? Came over his heart. So, you know, many times we sit around with our hearts full of love and our souls that have been cleansed by the Lord Jesus Christ and allow our commitment to just waste away. That happens so many different times. But God has given us a wonderful news to share with the rest of the world, and that's what he expects for us to do, is to go share it. And when we do, the result of our commitment is enhanced, and it helps others. You see, if God had done something wonderful for you, you know, if only it stands to reason that you would want to share it just like Zacchaeus did. So he said, "My life is going to be different from now on. I'll give half of my wealth to the poor, and if I've cheated anybody, I give four times as much as I took from them." See the change that came over Zacchaeus? And that is repentance, and that's commitment. A changed life. You see, God, Lord Jesus Christ, made a purpose to come through Jericho, down that way, stop and look up into that tree and see Zacchaeus. He had a purpose. He had a reason. Because he knew down deep inside that Zacchaeus had a good heart. He'd just been mistreated. People didn't like him. They hated him. But you see, when God looks at someone that we wouldn't even probably give the time of day, a lot of times, and sometimes that could be you and I. He looks at the heart. And when we have repentance and willing to commit, then that's when the change takes place. That's when the change really takes place. Okay, thirdly. What did Jesus say to Zacchaeus? What did he say? Look in verse 9. How did Jesus respond to Zacchaeus? Verse 9, it says, "Today salvation has come to this house because this man too is the son of Abraham." In other words, Zacchaeus, today all of your sins, all of your faults have been forgiven, and you too are a part of the family of God. What he was saying, you now belong to the family of God. Can you imagine what that must have meant to Zacchaeus? All of his life he had been rejected, ridiculed, but Jesus had reached down with love, and then Jesus tells him a wonderful truth in verse 10. "The Son of Man has come to seek and to save that who is" what? "Lost." And that is what you and I at one time were lost. Aren't you glad Jesus said, you know, "I came into this world to seek and to save those who are lost"? Father Jim is a administrator over this orphan's home. And everybody just loved him because he had the gift to make people and show love to each one that came into that orphanage. Kids loved him because he saw beyond their appearance and their handicaps and where they came from and so forth, and he always extended love. One day he had to go to the grocery store to buy groceries for for the facility for the camp there. And a lady brought in a young man, and he'd been mistreated, abused, and so forth. And he had a birthmark that covered the whole right, left side of his face. But while he was gone, you know, the little boy didn't want to be there because he figured he would be mistreated just like anybody else and everybody else had treated him in years past. And the social worker finally left, and when she left, he went off to his own corner, and he was upset and mad and didn't want to talk to anybody. And the kids tried to gather around him and try to encourage and talk to him, but he wouldn't have anything to do with him. Father Jim came back to the camp, and kids all ran out, and people ran out to meet him because he always greeted them with a hug. And they just wanted to see how he would respond to this new boy. They didn't want to have anything to do with anybody else because of his appearance and his state of mind. And Father Jim walks into the room where the little boy was, all crashed up in the corner. He walks over and sees him and said, "Well, who do we have here?" And they were just waiting to see what Father Jim was going to do. He reached down, picked up that little boy, took him up in his arms, and he looked at him, and he kissed him right on that birthmark. And that young man brightened up because he had never been shown that kind of love or affection. You see, today, you know, you and I, we may think we have some imperfections or God can't use us in any way. But you see, God came to this earth to look and to work and to save people just like you and I. And he has come in here to this world, in our society, in our modern world, as we call it today, to take us where we are, to mold us and make us into something good. He's not looking on our appearance as the world does, but he's looking at our heart. Where is our heart? Who is our heart? What is our heart committed to today? Where is our heart? Is it positive? Is it negative? Is it ashamed? What's the condition of our heart? Well, you know, there's a lot of heart problems in this world, isn't there, today? And spiritually, what is the condition of our heart? So if God can take a young or a small man or a short man or a man like Zacchaeus, who everybody despised and hated, and the people cried, didn't like it, did they? They didn't like it at all. They said, "Jesus is going home with a sinner? He's, you know, here we are. We're much better than this guy because he's stealing and robbing from us." But you see, the people had to hear him say, you know, "I'll give for everything I owe and four times back what I had taken from anybody else." You see, a changed heart. A changed heart is a heart motivated to God. And this morning, if you're here and you don't know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, now he's ready to take you and accept you just the way you are. That's the way he looks at us, any of us. Accept us just the way we are. So in a minute, we're going to be singing our invitation. God has been working with you, talking to you, or dealing with you. You've been praying and seeking God's will for your life. You're ready to make a change for the Lord. Today is a perfect day. Come to this altar and say, "Lord, you know, I'm a Zacchaeus. I'm a David. I'm Apostle Paul. My attitude is just like that, but now I'm giving my heart and life to you." And as soon as you say that, your life is changed permanently forever for the good. Because God, that's what he wants to do for each and every one of us today. to change our outlook on life. Where is your heart? Is it bent towards God or is it somewhere else? May we pray. Our Father, we thank you for the scriptures that we read and studied today. And what we have searched and found through the power of your Holy Spirit. Lord, we just pray that each one of us will search our hearts this morning. And Lord, we all have to deal with different issues and circumstances in our life. But Lord, you're willing to take us where we are and turn all that around for the good. Help our outlook, our attitude, our conduct. Lord, it all reflects the condition of our heart. And when our heart is right, our outlook will be better. It would be for the good. And that's what you're looking for, obedient and submissive hearts that you can take and can mold and mend and make something wonderfully good for your honor and glory, to serve, to do the things, Lord, that we ordinarily can't do by ourselves, but with your power. Your Holy Spirit working in and through our lives, we can do extraordinary things. That's what you're looking for in each one of our lives. May we say, Lord, today, I'm going to make that change. I'm walking with you. I'm surrendering my heart. Take my heart and make it yours. I praise you and I thank you in the precious name of Jesus. Amen. Our hymn of invitation this morning is hymn number 29. Is that correct?
It's 328.
It's 328. Okay. That didn't get changed, did it? Okay. 128?
328.
Let us stand as we sing our hymn of invitation. 3:28. Thank you again for being here in our service today, and don't forget about Sunday school immediately after our benediction. Stay for that and learn more. What do you know? You know, you might learn something you didn't already know, and you can take it with you and use it this week, wherever you go, work, school, play, or the marketplace. You know, Sunday school is a good place to learn scripture. And pray that you will consider that this morning. Thank you again for coming. Let us go to the Lord in prayer. Yes, yes.
Where are you? One thing I forgot to announce. Yes. Today, because Dawn's in the nursery, the Praise Be, the PB and Jesus Ministry is at 6 o'clock for kindergarten to 6th grade this evening.
Okay. Just look at your bulletin, I guess. It's on where the announcements is.
Yeah, they've only had a couple coming each time, so maybe if we announce it some more. We'll
at 6 o'clock.
Kindergarten,
6th grade, okay? All right. Make a note of that. All of you have children that age, and bring them this evening. All right. Rand, would you close this in prayer, please?
Heavenly Father, day. Thank you for the message that we have heard. And Lord, just be with us as we either go to Sunday school or